Venezuela, nadie lo interrumpirá.
Chávez no se
va. Que este 3 de diciembre Venezuela triunfará.
Chávez no se va.
First of all, before any introduction, anything at all, Will Rogers once said that he belonged to no organized political party. He said, I'm a Democrat, okay? Now, how many of you, is this your first trip with a group, a tour group, any? Okay, when you go back, you can tell people, I've never taken a trip with an organized tour group. I mean, I was with Global Exchange, but and I say that I admire JoJo, and it isn't easy getting people where they're supposed to be at a particular time, and traffic. I got here really quick today, and I was just amazed that I was able to get here. Other times it can take a few hours, and so on. So that's just part of life. My name is Charlie Hardy. I'll tell you a little bit more about me. With us today is Don Zuppelli and also Andy Dillon and their daughter Sara. They are some of the founders of Indie Media in Rochester, New York, and they're here working with Indie Media on a project. And thought that rather than they wanted to hear me saying some things, and I suggested, well, rather than my saying to them what I'm going to be saying to you tonight, maybe it'd be just as easy to come and tape this. And so basically, it's sometimes I know people don't like to have their pictures and things. They're not planning on taking any of you, unless afterwards, if someone wants them to take a picture of you, tell them, I'd like a picture. My name officially is Charles Hardy. It's Charlie. I have lived in Venezuela for the past 21 years. I was, maybe still am, a Roman Catholic priest from Wyoming, from the state of Wyoming. And I came here in 1985, but in 1994, I decided to marry. And that kind of puts an end to, it's one of those strange things. Every organization has their strange things. You have the problem in the United States of people who broke laws and so on down the line, and they were moved from parish to parish. But the day you say to your bishop, "I'm thinking about getting married," well, zoom, that was it. So anyway, I married in 1994. After about 6 years, Susanna and I discovered we had a better relationship as friends than as married couple, and so we separated. But I talked to Susanna this morning. I'll see her tomorrow, and she has another partner who's a great guy. And so that's Charlie Hardy's life in summary. In 1980 or so, the Pope said, "Hey, there's a lot more priests up in the north and in the south," and so I started to talk to Bishop, maybe someone from Wyoming should go to another part of the world. And in 1984, he gave me permission to go with a group of missionaries called Mary Knoll. They're out of New York. Mary means Mary, Mother of Jesus. Knoll is a hill, and they have a hill in New York. Some of you maybe have heard of Mary Knoll. It has a reputation as being kind of a leftist organization. My personal experience was there are people in Mary Knoll who are to the right of Genghis Khan, and there's others who are to the left of Che Guevara, but most are somewhere in the middle. They might be here on one issue, there on another issue, and so on, but they were all wanting to do something for the oppressed people in the world. And that's where it blew my mind when one day I was told I was going to Venezuela. I was hoping they would send me to some exciting part of the world, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Brazil, Africa, Asia, and they said Venezuela. Now, I had had enough contact with Latin America through the years that I could have drawn a map of all of Central and South America except for Venezuela. What came to my mind was Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon once had a discussion about Wyoming. Did it really exist? The conversation was something like, "Do you know anyone from Wyoming?" "No." "Do you know anyone from Wyoming?" "No." And they finally concluded, I think, that there was a hole in the map and W-Y-O-M-I-N-G fit in there, and so that's why the map of the United States has Wyoming there, but no one lives there. Well, I felt the same way about Venezuela. I went to an encyclopedia. Venezuela has cattle and has oil. It sounded like Wyoming. I was leaving Wyoming to go to Wyoming, you know. So Cheney, someone mentioned the dirty word here. Dick Cheney is not from Wyoming. I have a sister who calls the radio station every time they say native son Dick Cheney. He was born in Nebraska. All right. Forgive this man for distracting me. So they said Venezuela. Well, I don't get depressed. I really don't think I've ever been depressed in my life, but I wasn't very happy for a few days. But when I went back to Wyoming before coming down here, it was the beginning of 1985, a woman in Cheyenne, who was Cheyenne's first anti-war demonstrator, all by herself in front of a military base protesting missiles one time with her kids, she said, "Maybe it's good you're going to Venezuela when things are quiet there, so that when things start happening, you'll have your feet on the ground." Well, I don't think she knew what was going to happen, and I don't think she knew what kind of ground my feet would be on either, okay? I came, and I was given the privilege of living in a cardboard and tin shack for 8 years. I'll pass around, you can... This, it's called a terrace. They were in the form of barracks. We were all living one right next to another. And I mention this because it was a government housing project built during the first presidency of Carlos Andres Perez when oil money was pouring into the country. The government built houses, shacks, out of cardboard for the people. Somewhere you may see songs by Ali Primera, a folk singer here. He has one called Roofs of Cardboard. There's a line in it, "You won't believe this, but there are schools here in Venezuela where they teach dogs. They give education to dogs so as to not leave teeth marks in the newspapers of their masters. but their masters have been leaving teeth marks in their workers for years and years. And the line is then, how sad it is to hear the rain come down on the roofs made out of cardboard, okay? Other great lines, children of my, with the color of skin, the color of my land, millionaires, millionaires of worms in their stomachs, okay? So I had a privilege of living here. You can pass this around. I couldn't take you there now because it no longer exists. I left here, last time I was there in the house was in June of 93. In September, there was a landslide and all this went down here. Nobody heard the ground was moving for a couple days before. So if you want to pass that around, it just gives you an idea. Here is one other picture. This was taken right behind my house. To give you a little bit of an idea of what it was like living there, the one day I walked out of my house and a neighbor said, Charlie, are you feeling better? And I said, yeah. How'd you know I was sick? And he said, just the way you've been breathing the past couple nights, we could tell that you weren't sick. When you look at that picture there, you'll see this other picture says something about open raw sewage. To urinate, it was easy. You just had a little corner in your house and it just ran out into the ditch. But practical problems like, what do you do if you have to poop, all right? We didn't have water, okay? No running water. Sometimes we wouldn't, a tank truck would come, and sometimes we'd go a month or more without water. So things like potty weren't of any help because what do you do to clean the potty afterwards? I'm not gonna take your time and say, what would you suggest? I'll give you the answer right now. We would put newspaper down on the floor, crap on the newspaper, then fold it up, throw it up the hill behind my house or down the hill the other way. If there is anything that I am an expert on, and this is the only thing that you can really say he knows a lot about, it would be about shit. And I spent hours reflecting on that. As a priest, someday you will also find my theology book, The God of Everything, Even Poop, because that was a word I couldn't say when I was a kid in our house. You know, everyone has their prohibited words. It wasn't my family didn't use bad words. My sister once said my dad spoke 5 or 6 different languages, my mother only 3. German, English, and profanity, okay? But shit was out. But suddenly I'm living, it's all around me. And I have to think, you know, where does this fit in the whole system of things? And from there went a whole list of reflections, like the day when I came home and I said to a young man, I was walking down the street yesterday in Caracas and I stepped on some mierda. And he said, Charlie, as a priest, you probably shouldn't use that word. So I said, well, what should I say? He said, excrement, fecal material, poo-poo. So I said, well, okay, Carlos. Yesterday I was walking down the street in Caracas and I stepped on some excrement or fecal material or poo-poo, but it smelled just like shit. And so from there, I went to work on a list of what I considered to be really, really dirty words. Because whenever I would type in WordPerfect 5.0, whatever that time, S-H-I-T, it would get a red line under it. It would get a red line. Comes from Orem, Utah. Maybe Mormons, Catholics, others didn't like the word shit. But so I came up with my list of really, really crummy, profane, horrible words. And they're words like hunger, starvation, oppression, torture, war, hatred. And you know what? I typed every one of those words in and not one of them got a red line under it. Okay? I mention that in this context of my being in Venezuela has been like being hit over the head daily with a hammer. Having to see things from a whole different perspective than what I saw things before. Okay. Example. Okay, here I come and August or so, Christmas is coming. It was getting close. And so I'm waiting for my, it turned out to be the worst Christmas I have ever had in my life. I was waiting for Silent Night, Holy Night. Would you like to know what a popular Christmas song here is? Fire the cannons, Jesus is born. Okay, try that. I don't know what part of the United States you live in. Washington, D.C., the National Cathedral, St. Patrick's in New York, or see what See what effect that has on Christmas Eve night if you sing Fire the Cannons, Jesus is Born. I, as a priest, wanted to celebrate a Mass, but other people on the team said, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I said, why? No, Christmas Eve. In the United States, even atheists will go to church on Christmas Eve. It's warm, it's cuddly, it's beautiful, music, everything else. And they said, no. I said, well, we'll make it work. You know, send out flyers, go around announcing Mass and so on. Well, it came that evening, and I'm on the hillside, and there's a couple kids play guitar. Me, I think one drunk showed up. Okay. Well, here, the custom is to be at home with your family on Christmas Eve. Probably not a bad custom. I suppose Jesus and Mary stayed with, or Joseph and Mary stayed with Jesus that night, you know, but we had this idea, go to church. People here didn't. They roller skate to church 9 days before Christmas. And then on Christmas, nobody's expected to be in church. I went home. I wasn't too happy. I never gave the sermon that I had prepared in Spanish, my first all Spanish. I'd like to find it someplace and see what I was going to say that night. I went home. I get in bed. I lived with mice, rats, cockroaches, and there were some mice around. Anyway, I set a trap, went to bed. And you're laying there, you're not feeling too well. You're thinking, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a... I killed a mouse, okay? All right, next morning I go out and I'm visiting. I see a kid on the street. Get any Christmas presents? No. No. I mean, I'd never asked a kid in my life that question got that answer. Visiting a family and we're talking about, a lot of people sick, flu and so on. This little girl says, yeah, my daddy said even the baby Jesus was sick this Christmas. That's why he couldn't bring any presents. Here it's not Santa Claus, it's the baby Jesus. Okay, that was 1985. Come to the year 2006, 2005. Venezuela is selling fuel oil at discount prices, or giving it, to people in the United States. Boing, I'm saying, being hit over the head. The people who used to live in the shacks in front of me have decent housing now. Boing, there's just, a general is talking about national security in Venezuela. The 27th of February, 1989, there was general rioting, and the troops were sent out, and many people were killed. The 27th of February, 2000, or 1999, Chavez is in power. He sent the troops out to paint schools, to give medical care, and so on. Well, in time, and it may still be true today, I didn't go to the recent miracle, you would see soldiers distributing food, selling food on the street. Can you imagine in the United States, your National Guard and wherever you are selling food on the street? And some generals weren't too happy. You know, that's not what soldiers are supposed to do. But others were saying, listen, this is a matter of national security. If people don't eat well, our nation is less secure. All right, all I'm saying, boom, boom, boom. If when you leave here, in 8 days or however, and don't feel like you've been hit over the head repeatedly during this time, then you haven't had your eyes open or your ears open and during the time you've been here. It's a different reality from what it was, different reality from what it is now. I'm going to interject something here. How many of you do not speak Spanish or do not speak Spanish very well? Okay. Remember many years ago, I was in Mexico back in the 60s. Everybody was going to, it was Peace Corps time and so on, and people would just take off on their own. They'd end up in a village in Mexico. They wanted to build a house. Even though nobody needed a house, well, I mean, what do you do when you're a volunteer? Can we build a church? Can we build something? At any rate, a priest was talking to a group of these kids, and he said, you know, you've come here, and we don't know exactly why you've come, and you don't speak Spanish or don't speak very well, and we don't understand you. But you speak another language, and that's the language of love. And we do understand that language, and we're glad you came. And I'd say that to all of you, too. I have seen people come and they speak Spanish perfectly and they never relate to the people. I've seen others who have come and have slaughtered the language and the people love them. You can do a hell of a lot with your smile, with your buenos dias, with your gracias, so don't feel uncomfortable in that, okay? The people here know it's hard to speak Spanish, just they know it's hard because everybody here in schools has to learn English, okay? But keep that in mind, okay? The language of love is more important than any Spanish words you've learned anywhere along the way or will learn. Okay, what I would like to do, okay, just with that little bit of background of the jar of coming here and where I'm coming from, when you get back to States, I told JoJo before you leave, I'll give you a promotion. I have a book that's coming out in April, Curbstone Press. I'm really happy with them, and they're setting up a speaking tour on the East Coast, West Coast, and so on. And so most of what I'm saying here, you can read it later on. If you don't want to take any notes, you don't have to take any notes. What I'm going to give you, as much time as works out, is kind of an overview of the past 20 years here. Because you come, and I know Global Exchange sent you all kinds of reading stuff. How many of you did not read all that they sent you? Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're getting up around 20, JoJo. Okay. And so I sometimes it's good, you know, when did that coup happen? When did that coup happen? Who happened? Where it happened here in this? So I made out kind of a list with important dates on it. And you can pass those down around. Some of them, there's a website up at top. I had a profound thought, and the train of thought just pulled out of the station. Here. If you want to take a note, this is the most important thing to remember. Anyone who wants to fall asleep after I say this, I give you permission to fall asleep. And if you want to talk about Venezuela, in Venezuela, we spell the word he with a T and a Y. The word he in Venezuela is spelt with a T and a Y. If you want it, you can write it on the back there. Just put he and put a T in front of it and a Y after it, and the word becomes they. So if somebody tells you, Chavez, he said this, he did this, he did, no, change that to they. If Chavez has any power at all, it is only because he represents the people. Ask a woman on the street, are you a follower of Chavez? And she said, no, he is following my ideas. I ask an elderly man on the street, what do you think of Chavez? And he says, he's like my grandson. No, he is my grandson. Okay? Chavez comes through in the crowd, and this guy next to me, who I don't know, says, look at their eyes. Look at the eyes of the men. They're crying. Now, why is that? Because I think they see in him their own children or themselves. He speaks their language. If he were to come in here, he would sit down and probably have a beer with you, or an arepa or something or other. It wouldn't be like George Bush coming. And even if, I don't know how close you got to see him, but going through the crowds on the back of a truck, you don't see the Pope going around that way. You don't see George Bush going around that way. But here's this guy, and the people are, they can show you in the newspaper all the buses that brought people from outside of town, if that comes up along the way. Let's say there are 500 buses. Even if you put 100 people in each of those buses, you only get to 50,000. And there were a lot more people there. But look at the faces and the enthusiasm and the joy, okay? So, all right, anyone who wants to fall asleep, now you can't. Just remember, spell he with a T and a Y on it, all right? Going to these pages that I gave you. A few significant dates in Venezuelan history. The first thing I have on there is Simon Bolivar. And I told you I was just going to talk about the last 20 years. But when I came to Venezuela, before I came here, I really didn't know anything about Simon Bolivar. When I was in about sixth grade, I remember going through a history book or geography book or something to see, we never got to the last chapter in any book when I was in school. And so I wanted to see what we weren't going to cover that year, and it was South America, of course. And there it said that Simon Bolivar is like the George Washington of Latin America. Okay, how many of you have a painting of George Washington in your living rooms? No one. The last group had at least one person. No one. You know, there's a song here that says, some people say that when Simon Bolivar was born, a second Jesus Christ came in the world. Wow. I mean, have you ever heard that about George Washington anywhere along the way? You see Simon Bolivar on altars, you see him all over the place. And so I thought, and I was told, I came here at the time of what was called liberation theology, but I was told, don't talk about Jesus as the liberator. There's only one liberator, it's Simon Bolivar, okay? And so I thought everyone loved Simon Bolivar until there was the coup in 2002, and Carmona went into the room to have that great meeting, but there was a painting of Simon Bolivar. He said, get that out of here, Simon Bolivar. I thought everybody loved him, okay? Well, then I started thinking about things. There's a part of Caracas called El Paraíso. That means paradise. And the main street running through paradise is Avenida Páez. P-A-E-Z. Páez was a general, did some great things, but he was also a traitor of Simon Bolivar. He offered him being emperor or something or other, but Bolivar had this dream of the great Colombia, and Páez wanted his own Venezuela, okay? But that's the main street running through. There's also a side street running in, big street, Avenida Santander. Santander was in Colombia. He wanted Bolivar killed. Okay. There's another street, Washington Avenue. Washington didn't have a dang thing to do with Venezuela. But there are two little tiny streets, one Calle Bolivar, another Calle Miranda. I thought those were the two great heroes of Venezuela. Okay, I'm going to translate that into English or American English for you. Imagine Washington, D.C. Lee Harvey Oswald Boulevard with a little JFK Street coming into it, okay? So when you talk about Simon Bolivar, it's not everybody sees things the same way. And some people would say that Chavez is distorting the view of Simon Bolivar. In Colombia, if you talk about Simon Bolivar, you may be under suspicion for being part of the FARC, okay? The guerrillas, because they are the ones who see as their great hero, Simon Bolivar, okay? So, again, just a little bit of history along the way on these things. 1958, the dictator was overthrown, Marcos Perez Jimenez, all right? January 23rd, there's a barrio called January 23rd. With that, two political parties came into power. The Acción Democrática, which would be Social Democrats, and the COPEI party, which would be your Christian Democrats. And they pretty much ruled the country for the next almost 40 years until Chavez came into power. The first term I put here of Carlos Andrés Pérez, 1974, 1979, I put it there because that's when the place I lived was built. When oil money was pouring into the country, that was the kind of house that was built. The president after him had a better idea, mobile homes. Mobile homes, they were containers, ship containers that they brought in and cut doors and cut windows, and they were really like ovens, okay? But for him, wonderful way of solving the habitational problems. Is that a good English word? The habitational problems?
Housing.
The housing problems, okay, of the people. Okay. Now, in 1989, February 2nd, Carlos Andrés Pérez was re-elected. You couldn't have two consecutive terms. Some people say it was a coronation ceremony. Dan Quayle was Vice President of the United States. He was in the same row with Fidel Castro, okay? I mean, it was leaders from all over the world brought here. Big celebration. And Carlos Andres Perez, everyone thought it would be like it was before. When he was president before, everyone in the country had jobs, someone told me. Now, not everyone had work. In other words, in 92, 93, a mayor was elected, mayor of Caracas, who didn't belong to one of those two parties, and he discovered there were 80 doorkeepers for City Hall. Only one door, but 80 doorkeepers. Only one or two people there at any time. But every 2 weeks, 80 people showed up for their checks, okay? Everyone had jobs, not necessarily everyone. Someone said to me that was nothing. What about the Perez Carreño Hospital? 60 ambulance drivers for one ambulance. But the ambulance was out of service for several years, okay? I have a clipping here. The present Minister of Education talking about a high school where there were 112 students and 120 teachers, okay?